Say self?
I did. I did that. I said self. Anybody have any thoughts about yesterday's talk last night? Zeal? What is zeal? Zeal is when you're consumed by something.
And that's what happened with Jesus in the marketplace. They were.
No, that was happening to Jesus his whole life. He was consumed with only the Father. If anything else, that's why zeal can't happen. Zeal can't have a competitor. Spiritual zeal can't have any competition. If there's any competition, zeal takes the lowest seat. Amen?
Yeah.
So you there's no zeal until you're swallowed up in the mystery. All right, let's go to Luke. Chapter 8, verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. We studied secret a lot. Concentrated on shame. But the word manifest is another great word. It's phaneros, and it means shining, readily apparent. So let's start our looking at manifest by going to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Start in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. In the Lord walk as children of light. Now, it doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness. It says you were sometimes, or aforetime, darkness. Everybody understand that? Why darkness? Because the God of this world had blinded your mind. Because everything, remember, darkness comes from seeing what does this mean to me and everything. And that's the fruit of the fall, the curse. Self-realization. For you are sometimes darkness, but now you light. Are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, what does that mean? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, the unfruitful works of darkness are vain words. It just said it.
Right.
And the vain words are there because your speech isn't seasoned with salt. Your thoughts aren't seasoned with salt. You're not speaking from the oracle of God. The oracle is that place under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. That place is called the oracle. And so therefore, again, to tie it together, if you're not speaking from there, thinking from there, being from there, there's no zeal. And if there's no zeal, that's fine, but admit it and find out what it takes to find zeal in your life. It takes this incredible, unbelievable thing that you've seen the emptiness and futility of everything else. Totally seen it. Then zeal is as automatic as breathing. Remember, we've said so often, this book isn't it's not a history book. The Bible isn't a history book. It's not a science book. It's not a moral book. It's not an ethics book. It's a book that describes two different environments, either time and space or eternity. If you're born again, then your only living place, you have it as a possession, you inherited it, and you dwell in it 24 hours a day. That place is the New Jerusalem. From that place, only zeal can come. It's not manufactured. It's not some kind of group dynamic. Only comes from repentance, by seeing everything else is done. What?
Well, the repentance and that are kind of one and the same. When you see that, what do you do but repent?
Well, again, remember, the evil one is constantly trying to cause you to leave the mercy seat. He'll cause you to leave the mercy seat for 1,000 reasons, 10,000. That's why the words of Christ are so incredibly harsh. I mean, here, this is incredibly harsh. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What are vain words? Vain words are those words that are dependent on time, that have their predicate and subject in time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Is it possible to live this way? Is it possible to live without vain words? I'm sorry, it's 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Every thought into captivity. Every single thought. Then you know the warfare is over. It's simple. It's not the warfare is done. That's what Isaiah said 760 years before Christ. Your warfare is over.
I was thinking of the word obedience, meaning remaining under.
not just remaining under and seeing under. You don't remain under with the mind of a Gentile. You remain under with your every ounce of your being concentrated on that mercy seat, that place, that location of sphere.
In that context, disobedience is
leaving the mercy seat.
When you buy in to anyone,
vain words.
Vain words or whatever that says to yourself, you'll be better off if you go over here and try something or whatever. Anything will remain under.
This is what we. I mean, this is constant. We talk about this just about every Bible study.
When we talk about Paul seeing himself as a servant, bond slave, and it reminds me of when the slave's ear was nailed to the door.
Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing or high plate that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What was his obedience? Remember, when a disciple is defined very clearly. You are they that continue with me in my temptation. He is already proven obedient. He in you cannot sin. The only way you sin is by returning to self, by returning to vain words. Remember, the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Three things. Of sin, not because of what you do, that's gone. Because you believe not on him. And the word believe there doesn't mean an intellectual assent. It's that everything in your life is dependent on his existence in you. He'll convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. That is the only righteousness. And if you're in him, then you've gone to the Father. And of judgment, and this is the only judgment that the prince of the world is judged. If you judge anything else, or get righteousness from anything else, then you return to time and space. The other way of saying this, it's a love story. The Bible is a love story about Christ and his bride. That's why it only addresses Adam and Eve. That's why from then on, it's all about the mystery of keeping the seed pure. The same way that the seven high places had to be defeated by Israel when they took the land, so the seven high places of your mind must be defeated. They already are, but you still think they have life there. And so you walk in deception. What?
Well, I was thinking about this part where it says, weapons are warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God. So that
repentance is the weapon.
What?
Repentance is the weapon.
But mighty through God. What?
Right. But you can't return back. The predicate is that everything else is vain thoughts. If you see yourself, I mean, it's the same thing. If you don't know how to swim, you don't get in the swimming pool, or you don't go jump in a boat out of a boat. But once you know how to swim, then jumping out of the boat. If you're swimming, like the one parable is the whole human race is swimming. Just trying to, most Christians are swimming. They're trying to do their best, trying to do this, trying to do that. And they look over there and there's a bunch of people sitting on a raft. They're just floating easily with plenty of food, plenty of rest. And people in the water are going to resent them instead of climbing on the raft. On the raft, the only way you climb on the raft is by repentance. Then you slide into it or flow up into the New Jerusalem, or you slide into the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's only by repentance. What?
No, just the analogy really is great. I mean, you're struggling, and then you get rest on the rock.
Is there anybody that doesn't see this at least? Let's look at the first thing he said. Let's go to Mark 1. First thing Jesus said. Verse 12. Well, let's just see. We give a very limited version of the baptism, but in verse 9, when it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. It isn't first thing he said, repent, the kingdom of God. And it doesn't, when it says at hand, that's a very bad translation in English. It says the kingdom of God is here. Repent. Repent. Unless there's something you can't repent of. But that, at least be honest enough, have the honesty and integrity of Abraham. I want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Is there anything in the universe that you are interested in except truth? That's a big question. And truth is the only thing that the bottom line, that's why Abraham is a father of faith, truth was the only thing he gave breath to, gave importance to. And he found that out, that the only thing that doesn't change with time is God. In Jesus Christ, because that's God in time and space. Got an opinion? Expand the tent pegs to the end of time and space itself and see if the opinion is worth giving. Is it true? Is it truth? You have an idea? Expand it to the end of time and space. Does this have any worth? It's this thing about not expanding the tent peg. Not, you make your little world, you take the boundaries and continue to close them in, you can prove to yourself anything.
I was thinking how this, I know my mind would like to square this with my human perceptions and make the kingdom of God perceptible to the flesh, and then it will be real. And as I consider it, though, it's like his kingdom doesn't have any part of the world. You know, the kingdom of God is a different place.
The one thing that the human mind cannot comprehend is existence without time. So that's because of that, everything in the Bible is a parable, because that's the only way you can reveal it. But then the humans take the parable and make 1,000 others that have no bearing on eternity. Their parables are things that have to happen and things that they think should be happening in time and space and opinions about everything. No. Let's go back to where we were going to start. Maybe we did, but let me. No, I don't think we did. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. I don't think we got very far. I don't know whose fault it is, or was. Somebody's.
Where'd we go?
Well, we never got to where I was going in Ephesians 5.
Where did we start?
We started on verse 6. But we ended up at verse 8. Then we went all over the place. Okay, that's what we're doing. Okay, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's the only thing that makes manifest is light. And his light, his resurrection in you, then he informs everything else about life. Just as the sunrise informs us about what this is, his resurrection informs us about seeing through everything. We don't look at anything. But if you continue to look at and acting like you're seeing through, you know, that's just, then you're just a hypocrite. That which makes manifest is light. You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. The only way you turn the light on is by repentance. That which makes manifest is light. That's why when we talked about that there should no sudden fear come upon him, we had a long talk about fear, and who in their right mind would consider being repenting for having fear of a rattlesnake or of a scorpion jumping out at me? But the word demands that we seek repentance for even the sudden fears that come upon us. So is there anything else that you wouldn't seek repentance for if you give breath to anything in time and space?
Yeah, that's a different way of saying this. If you just say the word repentance, it doesn't have the same weight as seek repentance. Seeking repentance has a...
But that's not what the scriptures say.
That's what you just said.
I know.
I mean, the point is, if you have sudden fear of a rattlesnake,
you say, "Father, forgive me." That's what it means to seek repentance.
Consider the fact why you have it, or what's going
no.
on, or compare it to
no.
why you would even repent.
No, that which makes manifest is light. You turn the light on. You don't analyze the darkness.
Can you analyze the light?
No, you can't even consider. Your mind can't comprehend light. Can anybody's mind comprehend something that doesn't change with time?
We're analyzing is key here. You know, we're analyzing. We talk about so many times about how we can't use this thing up here to really understand mystery. And so we're analyzing darkness or analyzing light. You are still using that thing we carry between our shoulder blades.
Same mind.
Yeah, I can say mine.
You can't. You mean you're carrying around the government is on his shoulders, not on yours. That means you've divorced. That's why, symbolically, Jesus' ministry didn't start until John the Baptist's head was cut off. And that's incredible symbolism. I mean, you could make some vain attempt to talk about light, but we can't conceive. Light is the biggest mystery of the universe. How can anything? If you turn light, it's always the speed of light. It's always 186,000 miles per second, or whatever it is. I mean, you can't. It doesn't accelerate. It doesn't decelerate. It just is. And there's just as much light in the blackest black as there is in the light, in the sun. But we don't see it because the things are vibrating at different, the molecules, the things we're made of vibrate at different frequencies. But that which makes manifest is light. Light is always there. It's in every place. There's as much light in the center of the earth as there is on the sun. We can't conceive of that.
So it's all based on whose eyes we're seeing things through. Ours or his?
There's the takeaway today. That which makes manifest is light. The only way that light appears is by repentance. I've said the same thing in 10,000 different ways throughout the 40 years I've been talking. Almost 40. I mean, it's always been the same story. And that's what the Bible does. Whether it's seeing Christ in Abel, or in seeing you in Cain, or, you know, seeing Christ in Joseph, and seeing you as the brothers that sold them out. I mean, seeing Christ in the law, and that perfect law by which you've been perfected by one offering. See Christ in the stars. See him in the falling leaves, your fall from his presence. Seeing in the icy hand of winter, pulling you toward his warmth and understanding. There's no place where you don't see him. Again, I think there's a tie-in between zeal and light. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light, then there's only zeal. Then you have fellowship one another. And he that is born of God automatically loves others, any other person that's born of God. I mean, it's not trying to do stuff. It's repenting when you see that you are still back in time and space. Anybody else? We didn't get very far. We got one verse. One verse about manifest.
We've been on that verse. We haven't even gotten that
verse. We're not even done with the verse.
Shut up, Pete.
Long way to go.
We started November 30th on 8/17.
You got a witness here.
You're so bad. You are so bad.
Just saying.
She doesn't have to be good.
I've been hanging around that Carolyn too long. I'm just saying. Take it, big guy.